that life is a constant imposition to regain our inner cosmic perception as a divine being. All the suffering we experience in life, all the present drastic situation we find ourselves with the vast intelligence of nature. Nature, this planet, now is going to teach us very humbling lessons. Aren't we all fearful of earthquake right now? Aren't we constantly worrying where is that great cataclysmic destruction which is going to annihilate us by the millions? What kind of a life is this, to live constantly in fear of something happening to you? That, my dear, is going to force each one of us to depend more and more to live in the presence of God. There is no place to go anymore. There is no more security anywhere. Now, you don't have to worry about bomb into your plane. Now, they are going to send stingers, rocket on you. So there is absolutely no more possibility to protect yourself into a plane. So where is security now? And fear, as long as there is fear in your heart, you cannot know God. When I go into a plane, I usually have a small icon in my hand of the mother, and I concentrate upon her until all fear is gone from me. Take me about 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, it's gone completely. But in a plane, I feel like a sitting duck. If I was a fighter pilot, at least I can fight it out. But on a plane, I feel like a sitting duck. And believe me, when you look around, you see everybody having that long face too. Therefore, you place your consciousness in God. First quality required from a person who wants to live a higher life is the ability to deal constructively with reality and not allow his life to be structured by the endless worldly suggestions of your television. Most people perceive the world through their videotape and television. They live in a cloud cuckoo line, as the Germans said. A dream world, which is unreal. You have to learn to deeply think. Television rob you of the most important part of your life, deep thinking and deep feeling. Only a strong man and a strong woman can stand up to their fate, for their inner security enable them to endure to the end. It is only when we have the courage to face things exactly as they are, without any sort of illusion, that the light will develop out of events by which the path to succeed may be recognized. In other words, you have to be a hard thinker and analyze life every day and begin to withdraw yourself from the herd of unthinking people. Hey, look, you walk around people. They don't see you. They broke the place. They won't move for you. You don't exist. They live in a complete closed universe. They have no more rapport between human beings. Try to go at Fedco at 10 o'clock in the morning when they open the door. Last time I was there, my feet did not touch the ground. I was just catapulted right inside. This wisdom which we are seeking cannot motivate you to be a moral person, to be a noble person, to be a dignified person. That wisdom can be only reawakened through meditation. Meditation reawaken your conscience. That's why for so long meditation has been left aside. Because meditation forces you to face yourself. You begin to face yourself in meditation. You begin to realize what you are doing to yourself. Therefore, nobody wants to meditate. They want to keep restless all the time, so they are not aware of themselves. Therefore, the master said that is, you must analyze everything which happened to you in your life with a mind firmly anchored in God's intuitive wisdom, which alone give undistorted answer to all the why of our lives. And as long as you have to question another individual to guide your life, you have undistorted perceptions. I have no confusion in my life. There is no more. Well, it has been long enough, I must say, but I have no more confusion. There is no more doubt in my mind. There is more nothing. No more obstruction in my life. But I had to work for it. Therefore, the more we understand that the only true purpose of life is to find your own self and not to lose ourselves into the labyrinth of this world, and that each one of us is required by God to graduate and pass all the diploma which God requires from us. That talk of freedom, don't you know that you are under cosmic dictature? That 24 hours the karmic laws observe your life, your thoughts, your feelings, your words, your actions? That you are constantly building the future by your way you behave every day? That's why one of the most difficult things to accept, that the first thing you have to learn in life is to learn to behave properly. And that behavior was supposed to be taught to us by our father and by our mother. Now, if they would have accepted? No. Therefore, we do not get disciplined and deeply spiritual parents to train us because we are unfit to be trained. We are unteachable. I became a very good 1500 meter and an 800 meter because if I say a single crossword to my mother, my father ran after me. I was lucky he was 200 pounds, believe me. Yeah? I got a discipline in Switzerland which prepared me to be a monk in the future, believe me. The discipline I got in my life in Switzerland, there is no children battering. Your father take care of you in a way you begin to behave properly, believe me. And in school, every week I had to present to my father a behavior book which my father had to sign to see what kind of grade I had got during that week. Boy, I tell you, my mother saved my life many times. All of this is gone. The development of character. We train our body. We do everything for the body, but what about the mind? About training our characters. And that cosmic dictature, my dear, no one. Don't ever think you can escape it. You can't. You can postpone it as long as you want. But such call for perfection will hound you life after life, with the horde of deep physical, mental, emotional, and collective spiritual suffering. We are reborn here, you and me, because we are... You know where you are here on this planet? A penitentiary for spiritually retarded people. That's where you are. That's what we are, because we were unteachable, we refused to obey properly, therefore we are getting the third degree now. Now we see the whole planet revolting against us, and we are going to have to change, or be destroyed. Look at all those new diseases. At Christmas I got the from Shanghai with love. I got that famous flu from China. And I was the sickest I've been in my lifetime. And those diseases become more and more and more and more powerful. Therefore, unless we change our ways, we are going to start to be decimated by plague. We have plague right now, but we don't know it. So let us now put our consciousness in God and sing, "Listen, listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee." Listen, listen, listen to my heart song. Listen, listen, listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. Listen, listen, listen to my heart song. Listen, listen, listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never forget thee. I will never forsake thee. Listen, listen, listen to my heart song. Listen, listen, listen to my heart song. I will never forget thee,
I will never forsake thee, I will never forget thee, I will never forsake thee.
Stop for a few seconds during the day and sing this song mentally to God. I will never forget thee, my Lord. I will never forsake thee. I just came back from the desert where I was 10 days. I fast for about 7 days on juices and in silence. Now I compared my state of consciousness now with what I had about 20 years ago. I was completely alone in the middle of the Mojave Desert. In the past, it reflected my own emptiness. I felt so lonely, so lost. I was asking myself, what am I doing in this path? Nobody loves me, nobody cares for me, I'm completely alone. And a total monument to self-pity. Now this time, now I walk in the desert in total joy, total peace, total Lord. It's so unbelievably beautiful that if only you could all experience it, you know. Because now I can see the colossal difference of having spent a good part of my life to try to develop that intimate depth of relationship with God. We try to do that in marriage, we try to develop a beautiful relationship with another soul, but because of our misbehavior most of the time, we are unable to be really in love with each other. Now what is beautiful with God is that He loves you no matter how you are. But as He sees you striving to change, then more and more of His love begin to be your rewards. Remember that. Love is the fulfilling of the law. The more you please God, the more you become in love, because He gave it to you. Therefore, I experienced this, which is described by Argus during those days. The yearning for our lost perfection, the urge to do and to be that which is the noblest and the most beautiful of which we are capable, is the creative impulse behind every high achievement. We strive for perfection here on earth because we long in our soul to be restored to our oneness with God. Oh, that increase of perfection in our scientific world, the incredible beauty of arts and music, all of this is the aspiration of that which is the most beautiful. And those who succeed give to the world something to remain with us, like the great symphonies of Beethoven or Mozart or Haydn, or the greatest sculpture, the greatest painting. Some momentarily have expressed all the beauty they had within their soul. We all have that. But this intuitive inner call to regain our inner perfection is the cause of all our suffering we face in life. And it means that it creates in us a choice we have to make between good and evil, which is the architect of our character. How much do you listen in your inner voice of your conscience when you have the choice between good and evil? Will determine what kind of character you are going to be in tune, what kind of architect you are going to be of your destiny. As men progress from life after life, they become aware of a constant increasing demand of perfection imposed by his own conscience. He then became aware of a gigantic battle within himself, of two powers, one destructive leading him toward increasing misery, and one power leading him toward everything which is noble, beautiful, uplifting. We then lead him toward an inner awareness of a faint remembrance of a lost paradise where he knew nothing but joy and bliss. That is, as you begin to strive to live in beauty, to walk in beauty, then gradually come within you some remembrance of who you were. Because right now we are in a state of cosmic amnesia. We don't know where we come from. But when you begin, when those thoughts begin to rise in you, what's happened to you? Tears of joy, tears of beauty begin to flow in you. I get that when I listen to some of Rachmaninoff. A piano concerto, when he played, he came to that crescendo there. It becomes so uplifting, so beautiful, that tears come to your eyes, because it's a call to the soul. Music does that to you. Just listen, Requiem by John Rutter, that English composer. If you have never heard it, try to get it. And there is such a beauty into it. Then increasing longing arises within himself until he has returned where he came from. Our conscience is the voice of God calling us back home. Man is a prisoner in this creation only for a little while. If 100,000 of years can be called a little while, then he will go back to his home of cosmic, blissful consciousness. Therefore, remember, your state of consciousness is the real you. Stand before the introspecting gaze of your own soul wisdom to discover your faults and virtues. By constantly following the inner voice of conscience, which is the voice of God, you will become a truly moral person, a highly spiritual being, a man and a woman of peace. Be honest with yourself. The world is not honest with you. The world loves hypocrisy. When you are honest with yourself, you will find the road to inner peace. That's why yoga starts with yama-niyama. What you are supposed to do to maintain constant equilibrium into your emotional life. That becomes a very strict life. Therefore, the Master says, very few people are willing to analyze their situation in life to determine whether they are progressing or going backward. There are two things in life. There is fate and there is destiny. It's not the same. If you do not assert yourself what you are going to do in life, you either go forward or backward. Therefore, only when you are certain and become to analyze your life will you go forward. If you are not aware, you cannot remain still on the platform of spirit. You are going to move one direction or the other. And unless you begin to be aware of your life, you are going backward. The world takes over and you become an automaton. Therefore, the Master said, it is our greatest duty to use our reason and wisdom rightly. It's why the Master demands from each one of his disciples that you first in the morning, Lord, today I will reason, I will, I will act, but guide Dharma, reason, will and activity in everything I'm going to do today, every second of the day. He demands that from you. When you do that, you will see God during the day, taking care of you. So that you may know, the Master says, whether you're going forward or backward. You must never forget that an important part of your equipment in life is your purpose in life. The world stands aside from the person who knows where he's going and is determined to get there. When you have resolved definitely upon a purpose in life, you must make everything serve that purpose. Therefore, what are you going to ask yourself today? First requirement, do you have a true purpose of life? Or are you going to die? You never know where you came from. You don't really know what you are doing here, and you don't know where you are going. And you are going to reincarnate with the same state of consciousness. The Master says, the second part of your life is the most important part of your life. You know why? Because you shall be reborn with the state of consciousness you have now. And so at 64 years old, I built myself that I feel much better than when I was 20. I am not as dumb as I used to be. So my dear, now is the time for us to spend 50 years on this planet. Now you must spend most of your time trying to develop yourself spiritually, to gain what you have forgotten in the past. And therefore you must find out if you are fulfilling your immortal self, or if you have spent your time deifying one, your own ego. The Master said, the love of the body is the love of your jail. And the mind, you're not the mind either. Therefore, purpose and aim are the qualities which make or mar an individual life. If we have a driving purpose in life, we can tap the resource of the infinite for power. And that if that stirring purpose is in tune with the oneness of all creation, we shall come to find life growing richer and wiser. Such motives build the eternal thing of the spirit, and they never fail. I realized more and more as I practice the energizing, this technique of cosmic, you recharge your body with cosmic energy. Energizing means to apply voltage. 7 times a day, every day, I practice those energizing. I learn from the Chinese also, for instance, deep breathing. When you do a deep breathing, you tense the whole body, And you relax. Why? Because the master wants you that breath go all the way like the Chinese do when they inhale. They inhale all the way down to their feet. Now I realize that what the master is trying to teach us, when you sing with your whole body. When you talk with, you are the whole self there. You are not talking to somebody, your mind is all over creation. Learn to be whole with yourself. Imagine when you have 100 trillion cells. When you are singing to God and you are singing with your 100 trillion cells, what the difference, isn't it? Try to analyze how you are in life. How much do you give? You want to see a person, in Switzerland we have a test, we shake your hand. You shake the hand of a person and you can see how much they are giving of themselves in life. Hi, how are you? The children ask me, why should I shake your hand? And you look at you. I say, because then I can love you and you can love me. You know, the kid really answered to that. I got them, pah! That's what God is waiting for you. He's like an archer. He's waiting the slice opening in you. He put his grace in you. But he has a hard time to find a target in us because we are constantly moving. You see, don't be naive. In this world, and a world of duality, as Hidayamata told me, there are very little happiness in this world. You have to squeeze it out of it. And they ask one day, Saint Francis of Assisi was walking in the wood with good Brother Juniper. Brother Juniper said, how happy are the birds in the air, the animals in the grass, and the fish in the brood, in the brooks. Father, why is that men are not as happy as that? And Saint Francis of Assisi answered, well, Brother, it is this way. The birds, the animal, and the fish are made for this world. That is why they are so happy. Men are not made for this world. That is why they cannot be happy here. My kingdom is not of this world. So people contradict that. Oh, yeah, but Jesus said, he said, I come here to give you life more abundance. Within. That's what he meant. And if your life is more abundant within, magnetically you will draw the thing you need, not what you want, which is an obstruction in your life. But only the thing you need. When you simplify your life, you have to make room for God and you have to simplify your life. The master say, remember, you have a quality within yourself which is called initiative, which can, he said, the master say, remove a great many crippling barriers in your life, our lack of imagination, our lack of initiative, our unwillingness to think. The master say, the moment you deeply think, you are going to find a way out of your problem. So you come to somebody else. You want somebody else to think for you and tell you, how am I going to get rid of my problem? When actually, you are just a plain, lazy thinker. You refuse to think for yourself. It's simple. I'm always willing to help anybody who come to me. But I can only suggest, that's all. So the master said, by the faculty of divine initiative within you, you can defeat every invasion of fate created by the power of your own past karma or bad actions and march victoriously into paradise. Do not continue to live in the same old way. Make up your mind to do something to improve your life. And then do it. Change your consciousness. That is all that is necessary. A higher life means a higher state of consciousness. Result that you are not going to be affected by trouble. You're not going to be finicky. You're not going to be a victim of habits and moods. You are going to become free like a lark. You need not remain the same old self. Destroy the image you have superimposed upon your true self. Bring forth the soul image that God gave you. Every day when you look into the mirror, you should see reflected there a better person. That's with a great advantage. The mirror I had for 20 years right there. That was my mirror. No matter how I felt, I had that big picture of my guru. I sat down in front of him. I looked at him like that close. That was the mirror of my conscience. Try to go, if his Yogananda is your guru, and you have done something really wrong, and go into and look into his eyes and see how you feel. I remember Dr. Lewis, who was the first disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda. Dr. Lewis said, well, when Master asked me that question, I answered it very quickly. I didn't realize what I was saying. The Master said, Doctor, will you promise me that during our life, as I train you, you will never avoid me? Dr. Lewis said, of course. He said, Mamma mia. He said, after that, he said, how many times I didn't want to see that guru because he was my walking conscience. Like a man like Abraham Lincoln. Why do we love him? He was the conscience of his nation. If ever we had a good president. Therefore, the Master said, if you change your mind from the worldly consciousness, I add, which the television is endlessly feeding of the senses, to the consciousness of God, you become a conqueror. All achievement lies within the mind. Ask yourself, am I a slave to my senses? Or I'm a king? Am I a creative genius or a victim of circumstance? Am I in divine peace or am I poor within? And that, my dear, to be poor within is the worst form of poverty because it leads to alcoholism, to drug and obsessive materialism. Plane of consciousness correspond to various level of thoughts. Thoughts, conversely, is an indicator of the plane of consciousness in which one's mind dwells. Life unfolds its wealth according to the unveiling of higher state of consciousness. A higher life means a higher consciousness. In other words, you have to take some principle. You must become like steel within yourself and gentle like a flower to other human beings. But with yourself, you must have a shield where nobody can hurt you anymore, and no one can bring out of you ugly thoughts of revenge and retaliation. That is, if you want to be at peace within yourself. And therefore, remember, I want you to know that every suffering you are experiencing in life, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, are poured to remembrance that you have forgotten God, that you are not making enough efforts. Once you take that vow of Kriya Yoga and self-realization, you have made a commitment which is terribly serious. Make no mistake about it. A man who forgets his real self for numerous life becomes so riddled with complex suffering that he cannot stand himself for his own habit. But as soon as he tries honestly to improve, he will discover the path to divine joy. There are millions of people on this earth who keep bringing unconsciously upon themselves all kind of unpleasant incident and invite disaster by the power of their own thoughts and set feelings. And they ignorantly blame some imaginary external factor, such as fate and destiny. But when you realize that it is your own uncontrolled thought process and unconscious feelings springing from your subconscious mind, which magnetically bring to you most of your trouble in life, you realize then that the mind is the instrument that God has given to you to lead yourself from darkness into light, from sorrow into joy, from ignorance into wisdom, and from the fear of death into the full knowledge that you are an immortal being. That's why each time I go in a plane, God wants to be sure if I have got it. Last time we were hit by a lightning, and I'm telling you, if you want to be scared, there is nothing else in the world. I said to the Lord, he tried to scare me, Lord, you succeeded. I thought the whole tail of the plane was gone. The bang of that lightning on that aluminium is unbelievable. Therefore, be realistic. What is the true reason you are here? The Master say, life here on earth appears futile and chaotic until we are anchored in the divine. That is why I always tell you that I am here to testify the supreme importance of spirit. Do not concentrate upon ephemeral worldly goal and human attachments. Such absorption draw your mind away from the Lord and your eternal self in Him. Therefore, remember that all difficulty in life that confront you in are meant only to stimulate you to greater efforts. In other words, you are getting kicked around. The moment you are refused to, every one of us live in his own spiritual class, where he has to graduate. And therefore, if you do not fulfill and graduate, the car might come to hit you on the head. I usually try to stay one step ahead. I don't always succeed. At Christmas, I didn't. Therefore, so that you may reach greater heights, if it is happiness you want, have it. There is nothing to stop you. You are an immortal child of God. Your mind should be charged with joy and detached from all unpleasant experiences. Strengthen your willpower so that you will not be controlled by circumstances, but will control them. Plan your life so that you will be able to accomplish all the good things you want to do, that you know you should do. As you work and plan, remember it is God who is working through you. Thus you will develop endurance and strength. God made you his child. You have made yourself a beggar. If you have convinced yourself that you are a helpless mortal and you allow everyone else to convince you, then you have passed a decree in your own mind that you are down and done for. No judgment from God or fate, but your own pronouncement of yourself. Keep you poor and worried. Even against the negative opinion of the rest of the society, if you bring out by your all-conquering God-given will the conviction that you cannot be left to suffering in difficulty, you will feel a secret divine power coming upon you. And you will see that the magnetism of that conviction and power is opening new ways for you. Now, you should understand that it is highly scientific. One day, our physicists will explain to you what it is to be spiritual. When you pray, hold your heart into your hand like a ball. You are going to God. God will not change your circumstances. You open yourself to God. God pours his cosmic energy, fill up the bowl of your heart. That energy begins to flow in every cell of your body, and you become magnetically like the solar system, the galaxies, everything is interrelated with the power of magnetism. You begin to draw to yourself automatically the thing you need. I saw it in Sri Yukteswar service the other night. It was so clear to me. I say to the people, out of the blue, go to the altar, hold your heart into your hand, receive the divine magnetism you need. I never knew it until it came to me the other day. It was so clear. God will not change anything. He's going to give you the power in you, the power of magnetism, which is going to be able to draw that which uplifts you. And remember, the Master said, the Bible says, in all thy way acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. His ways are unknown and mysterious to those who rely on their own understanding. But for those who seek his face unceasingly, with utmost faith and devotion, and attune their limited earthbound will with his wisdom-guided will, he will give the greatest blessings, directing them in every activity. Learn to commune with God by meditating intensely, and you will know exactly what course to follow to the minutest detail. Be alert to the intuitive prompting, that means remain centered. Be alert to the intuitive prompting which comes from within. And you will see that daily activities form a perfect pattern of spiritual and material fulfillment. How did they become a monk? How did they got this incredible kingdom, living in the house of God? I live in paradise in this lake shrine. I always knew it. But I had to make a paradise of this box right here. I had to, as much as I could, lock up that Pandora box of my own mind. You cannot change that mind. But you can bypass the mind. When you live in intuition of the soul, there is no more thought process. You feel all things. It's like love. Love is not a mental concept. You don't say to somebody, hold a minute, I have to read a book about love to know if I love you. You know very well if you love a person or not. Huh? You feel it. Therefore, remember, this is what you and me are going to face at the end of our life. When we'll be on our deathbed, this is alone. We came alone with God alone. We saw a gallery of faces, my father, my mother, my home. Then we go back to God alone. And those are going to be, this is going to be in the front of you. When this book of life shall be closed, there will remain with you only the realization gained from desire you have fulfilled in connection with God. So man must realize that this, his own happiness lie not in pleasing men, but God, the earth's sole president and owner. The whole world may not know you, but if Christ knows you, you are eternally a spiritual king, a spiritual queen. Always say to yourself, Lord, Lord, not my will, but thine. You arrive in time to a non-attached state of great inner freedom. You harbor only one wish, Lord. I want only to do thy will, whatever it might be. So, my dear, unless you begin to make room for God, you begin to remove from your life too many desires, your greatest enemy in your spiritual development, too much desire for entertainment, can't you remain by yourself and begin to think deeply and entertain yourself by your own mind? The desert was made by God for you, not to go with those crazy motorcycle or shooting cannons. And one guy was shooting a cannon the other day. And you go to the desert to remember. You go to the Grand Canyon. You go to the Zion National Park. You go all the incredible beauty of this planet to make you remember the beauty of your own soul. If you have a chance, go to Monument Valley in Utah, where John Wayne was ceaselessly chasing Indians. You go over there, you can sit on the silence. Unbelievable silence. You have absolutely no effort you make. You sit down and you are just bathed by the beauty of the love of God who approached you in silence. If you have a chance to go over there. It's one of the most, everybody talk about how great and wonderful is Switzerland. Go in America, look into your own country. You have everything Switzerland has, a million times bigger. And we haven't got any desert like that. Therefore, Sridhar Yamata said to us, never be discouraged. Never think that you cannot make the spiritual grade. No matter how steep it seems at times. One of the most consoling and heartening encouragements Master gave to us was this reminder. A saint is a sinner who never gave up. We should remember it. Whenever we get discouraged or feel that we have fallen short of our spiritual goal, the saving grace of the would-be saint, that he never gives up. He always keeps on trying, no matter how many times he falls, no matter how many mistakes he makes. By never giving up, we prove to God that our devotion, our loyalty, our desire for him are unconditional. When the Lord is once convinced that it is he alone we want, then he is satisfied in spite of all our weaknesses and shortcomings. Isn't that encouraging? In spite of all our shortcomings, our sins, our mistakes, when you can convince, you say, Lord, I want to go home, my Lord. Have mercy on me. What can I do? When they ask Sri Yogananda, Master, will you forgive me? And the Master say, what else can I do? So, then God takes us by the hand and he walks with us and he talks with us and he tells us that we are his own. It is God who guides you to live a higher and higher life, who reawaken. You don't have to polish your ego. You just have to step out of it. Everything good is waiting for you. Just a phrase of our closing song. Oh, God, beautiful. Realize that when you are singing to him, that he's going to watch your heart. Be sure your mind and heart are united. Because then you open yourself to his grace and he removes some of your karma. As Yogananda said, no one leaves this door empty-handed. You have gained something by being here. God beautiful, oh God beautiful, oh God beautiful, oh God beautiful,
At thy feet, O I do bow, at thy feet, O I do bow. O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful. In the forest thou art green, in the forest thou art green. In the mountains thou art high, in the mountains thou art high. In the river thou art restless, in the river thou art restless. In the ocean thou art grave, in the ocean thou art grave. O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful. At thy feet, O I do bow, at thy feet, O I do bow. O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful. To the serviceful thou art service, to the serviceful thou art service. To the lover thou art love, to the lover thou art love. To the sorrowful thou art sympathy, to the sorrowful thou art sympathy. To the yogi thou art bliss, to the yogi thou art bliss. O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful. At thy feet, O I do bow, at thy feet, O I do bow. O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful. O
once more that great Om vibration, raising our arms first for the healing of our bodies. Om, the purification of our hearts and mind. Om, the awakening of our souls. Peace and harmony to the world. Om. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Bhagavan Krishna, Mahavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Shiv Teswaji, our Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, we bow to all of you, most beloved God.
Take possession of my body,
that I may realize in my daily life, in a tangible way, that I am not this body,
which is born and passes away.
Take possession of my mind,
that I may think no evil,
see no evil,
feel no evil,
fear no evil,
spread no evil,
but behold nothing but goodness and purity.
Take possession of my heart,
that it may belong to thee and to thee alone. Take possession of my soul.
Take possession of my soul.
That it may manifest thy ever new joy. Beloved God,
naught
your good,
saint or sinner,
I am thy child.
I am thine.
Thou art mine.
I am thine.
Thou art mine.
Om
peace.
Amen.
And may God give us the power to open our hearts and mind and soul every day of our life to the full and flow of His loving presence.